Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang joins me. And we turn to Hong Kong. Recently, the scene of more depredations by the Chinese Communist Party. There is a new leader, so-called, in Hong Kong to administer the national security law that has crushed freedom. The headline, Hong Kong leader John Lee dodges questions on local security law timeline, introduces new advisors. We welcome Mark Clifford. Mark is the author most recently of Today Hong Kong, Tomorrow the World, What China's Crackdown Reveals About Its Plan to End Freedom Everywhere. I look forward to a lengthy conversation with Mark about his new book. It has a jacket that is sad. It's a crushed yellow umbrella. Mark, before we go to John Lee, the latest water carrier from Beijing, what is the significance of that crushed yellow umbrella? What story does it tell? Good evening to you, Mark.
Well, good evening, John, and thanks for your interest in your continuing interest in Hong Kong. The yellow umbrella, of course, was the symbol of defiance and of the umbrella revolution of 2014 and the summer of democracy of 2019, when millions of Hong Kongers came out into the street demonstrating for democracy. But it ended in tears, and it ended with metaphorically and literally those umbrellas being crushed by the Chinese Communist Party, now headed, at least the government in Hong Kong is headed by John Lee. We don't know if he's communist or not, because the Communist Party in Hong Kong is an underground organization, one of many paradoxes.
Gordon, what is the controversy here about a new security law locally? I mean, do they need to augment the brutality of the one from the mainland?
They certainly don't, John. Article 23 of the Basic Law, and the Basic Law is called Hong Kong's mini-constitution, requires national security legislation. This has been extremely controversial because in 2003, unexpectedly, something like more than a half million or so people in Hong Kong out of a city of 7 million protested on one of the hottest days of the year because they didn't want this legislation. Beijing has been trying to introduce it, but has not been successful. And in 2020, on June 30, they imposed their national security law on Hong Kong. But it's a law of the People's Republic of China. It's not a law of the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region. Beijing wants to put some icing on the cake with a law of the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region.
You have a question for Mark.
Mark, obviously John Lee is hesitant to talk about the timeline for Hong Kong's national security legislation because he knows that it's deeply unpopular. But right now, the Legislative Council in Hong Kong, which is sort of their legislature, actually is populated entirely by Beijing's stooges, if I may be so kind. What do you think is the prospects of the NSL in Hong Kong right now?
Yeah, well, I think they will get it through. I mean, it's interesting. It's just when you think things can't get any worse, they do. And it's clear that John Lee, who has been carried out the crackdown as he used to be head of the security forces, he's been groomed for decades by security authorities in the mainland. He's been out to the Uyghur region of Xinjiang, where people are being held in camps, and said it all looked good. Perhaps Hong Kong could learn some things from it. You know, John Lee is going to preside over an even more repressive era in Hong Kong. I don't think they need the Article 23, but because they've had such a hard time getting it through, they want to get it through so they can declare complete and total victory. And part of me thinks that it'll just be a kind of rebaked national security law, similar to what's already in effect. But I imagine they're going to try to put some twists in it to make it even worse and even harsher than what Hong Kong's been undergoing the last couple of years.
What is the EXCO, Mark? Please help us understand EXCO members. Who are they? What do they represent in Hong Kong's life?
Yeah, well, they're one of these historical leftovers from the British period when the British would gather the good and the great, the so-called unelected or unofficial, unofficial members. And it was a kind of kitchen cabinet of the elite. And that's held over, and it's unelected. It's supposed to provide counsel to the chief executive and the legislative council. It was supposed to be, elected. Now, of course, it's made up of patriots only, which effectively means people who support the Chinese Communist Party. So there's no organized opposition whatsoever. Anybody who tries to oppose is threatened with jail.
So this is a Potemkin governance then, where we're looking at a showpiece. Who is it for? Who are they addressing when they put up what Gordon has kindly described as stooges?
Well, I think that's unfair to Mr. Potemkin to call it a Potemkin place. But, it is a funny characteristic of modern dictatorships, because they want to be loved and they want legitimacy. They crave legitimacy. It's not like the old days of, really brutal, Peter the Great or something, where you just lashed people to death and killed them with impunity. They actually want to show the world that they have supportive people. And so they try to stage manage fake elections and other sorts of things, lots of flag waving on July 1st, which is the 25th anniversary of the return of Hong Kong to China. These kinds of show events to try to fool their own people and the world into thinking that there's broad support for this government. I don't think many people are fooled.
Gordon?
Mark, you talk about show events. We just had one. There was a two-day visit of Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, to Hong Kong, June 30 and July 1st. Xi Jinping felt so uncomfortable about Hong Kong that he did not spend the intervening night in the territory. He actually went back into the mainland and spent the night in Shenzhen, which I think is quite telling. There were a number of events, of course, in Hong Kong for Xi Jinping and his wife, who accompanied him. But we don't really seem to have very much in the terms of popular crowds. It was all of Beijing's people. And this was really highlighted by Xi Jinping's arrival on June 30, where he was only speaking to four people. And we know about this because China Central Television kindly panned on the crowd, which either was a mistake or somebody in CCTV really wanted to embarrass Xi Jinping. Your comments about Xi Jinping's visit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you made the right points. First, it's, a lot of the press made a big deal of the fact this is actually the first time Xi Jinping has left mainland China since the beginning of the pandemic, early 2020. But the fact that he wouldn't even spend the night in Hong Kong, I think, tells you something. There is concern about COVID in Hong Kong. I think there are a couple thousand cases right now. And so John Lee's first challenge is going to be getting COVID under control and opening Hong Kong up to the rest of the world while keeping it sealed off from the mainland, even as they try to integrate more into the mainland. So this guy has to square a circle. Very tough job. Xi Jinping cares enough about Hong Kong that he came down there, but he's uncomfortable enough, as you very aptly put it, Gordon, that he didn't want to spend the night in Hong Kong. Look, Hong Kong is, as we've discussed before, a kind of troubled peripheral region that needs to be beaten and hammered into submission. And Xi's stage-managed visit with thousands of people waving government-issued Chinese flags is symbolic of that. But it is symbolic of the fact that dictators want it. They crave legitimacy. They want to be loved. And they know in an era of social media and democracy and voting that, it's hard to manage this kind of thing when you have an educated, aware, pro-democracy kind of populace, as you do in this city of 7 million people, Hong Kong.
In our final moments, Mark, what do we need to think about when we hear John Lee's name in the news?
Think of bad news. This is one bad dude. I have a particular connection with him, having been a former board director of Next Digital, which published Apple Daily. It was John Lee that shut us down, that sent a letter to the board, freezing our bank accounts. I've got seven colleagues in jail right now. Six of them have never even been tried with anything and have been cooling their heels behind bars for a year. That was John Lee's doing. So this is the man who's now ruling Hong Kong.
Mark Clifford, Today Hong Kong, Tomorrow the World, Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.